Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Okay, we good? We're going to take a little break this morning from our study in regarding the church that Paul and I have been sharing in, and have a little more motherly themed ministry this morning. So, if you were thinking about where would we get a Mother's Day message, I'm sure you, like me, would have thought, first off the bat, let's turn to the book of Judges. Turn to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5 will be where we look this morning. Now, it might not have been your first thought, but I think we'll find some things that will be not only encouraging to mothers, but encouraging to all of us as we consider the person of Deborah. Deborah. I am going to ask you to bear with me as we read chapters 4 and chapters 5. I think it's beneficial to us as we consider the rest of the things that we'll see to have, be familiar with both chapters. So if you'll follow with me, we'll read Judges 4 and chapter 5, and then we'll consider what the Lord might tell us. Let's just pray first and ask Him to guide us even as we read. Father, thank You that we might be together again, and what a day of remembrances, a day of appreciation, and Father, a day that we would seek now to be inspired and taught of Thy Word, both in the role of motherhood, Father, but in the role of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us, we pray, as we find practical application to the things written here. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges chapter 4, verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now, change of scene, Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent under the plain of Zanaim, which is by Kadesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him, and the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles. And all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me. Fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, Stand in the door of my tent, and it shall stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here, that thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him, and said unto him, Come, and I'll show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel, and the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, and the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, and the clouds also dropped water, the mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear among the 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek, after thee, Benjamin, among thy people. Out of Maker came down governors. Out of Zebulun, they that handled the pen of the writer. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak, for he was sent on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben there were great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flock? For the divisions of Reuben there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. And why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. The kings came and fought. They fought the kings of Canaan and Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away. That ancient river, the river Kishon, O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hooves broken by the means of the prancings of their mighty ones. Curse ye Meraz, said the angel of the Lord. curse you bitterly, the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail, and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera, she smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots?" Her wise ladies answered her. Yea, she returned answer to herself. "Have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey? To every man a damsel or two? To Sisera a prey of divers colors, a prey of divers colors of needlework, of divers colors of needlework on both sides, meet for the necks of them that take the spoil. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as a sun when he goeth forth in his might." And the land had rest 40 years. That's a lot of reading. Thank you for bearing with me. It would be difficult in 30 minutes to go through every little thing that you might see in this story. And there are great things in a story that's seldom told, not often read. Matter of fact, the whole book of Judges can be rather depressing, to say the least, as you read through it, when you see failure after failure after failure. But there are great encouragements there too. One thing about the book of Judges and those that are here, these deliverers, these saviors, if you will, that are recorded, most of them are not national heroes like a David, but they're more regional. They're more in line with a certain group of Israelites on this part of the land, a certain group of Israelites on this part of the land. And these stories were brought together, obviously, by the Spirit of the Lord to record how things were when there was no king in Israel, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Most of these judges served the Lord's people quietly and faithfully. And there's only select incidents that we read of or hear of or learn of. Such is the case with Deborah. I'd like us to think about this morning on this Mother's Day and recognize this is a story of twos. Twos, pairs, couplets, things that are found in parallel. There's two women highlighted in this story, right? There's Deborah and there's Jael. There's two military leaders. There's Barak, or Barak, however you want to pronounce it, and Sisera. There's two armies, of course, that of the Canaanites and that of Israel. There is the word mother itself mentioned twice. There are two singers that are mentioned. There's two couples that are mentioned. There's two sides on the river Kishon where the armies met. There's two tribes that respond to Barak's call, the tribe of Zebulun, the tribe of Naphtali. And when we go into the song in chapter 5, it's replete with twos, couplets, pairs, that sort of thing. So it's an interesting thing, and we'll look at this a little bit by just looking at a few of those pairings and see what it has to tell us. Why? What's important about the number two? What do we know about the number two and its use in Scripture? Now, you may have heard, you may think of, that numbers have some significance in the Word of God. Well, I believe they do. I think we catch little glimpses and pictures, and there's things that are established by those things. Everybody, I mean people out in the world, all think there's something special about the number seven, right? Even those that don't really think about how it has a thought of completion or how it brings us to the thought of that which is perfect, which God has anointed or blessed. But from the beginning of creation, on the seventh day, God rested after he saw everything that he had created was good. And we see the number seven repeated through the scriptures and many times even in the book of Revelation. The number three appears in either broadly or quietly. Nevertheless, we see triplicates that go through. And the number two, now there are some people that really go into great detail about numerology in the scripture, and like many things, maybe we could go a little too far. Not that it's not there, but sometimes to modify the old hymn, wonderful things in the Bible I see, things that are put there by you and by me, right? We'd be careful not to put things there that aren't there. But the number two has two different purposes to us. Are two different things that it would tell us from the scripture. One, it's a number of witness, right? It's a number of witness. Back in Deuteronomy, God established this in his law. One witness shall not rise up against any man for any iniquity or any sin. In other words, you go to court or you stand before the gate of the city or you stand before Moses or before one of his appointees, and one man can't say, he did this and he's worthy of death. There had to be two or three witnesses for something to be established. The scripture says, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. The writer of Hebrews reminds in chapter 10, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. The Lord Jesus sent out his disciples by two, you might remember, as witnesses. Often in the Old Testament, you'll read things about heaven and earth will testify. There's two witnesses. Sometimes it's veiled, sometimes it's broad. In Revelation, there's two witnesses that testified during the time of tribulation. Two is the number of witness. Two is the number of testimony. And that establishes it. Very interestingly, when they sought to bring false charges against the Lord Jesus, they could not get two false witnesses to agree. Two liars couldn't get their story straight when they stood before the Sanhedrin. The Lord confounded their false testimony, I believe. So it's a number of witness. But it's also a number that reminds us of division. Namely, that there are two ways. Two ways that a person might travel. Two ways that a person might go in life. The Lord Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. The Lord Jesus himself says, there's two ways. There's two ways. There's a narrow way, there's a broad way. And there aren't many that find that narrow way. You need to find that. You need to find it. So there's two ways. That's the other use of the number two. So two uses for two in our Bibles and what it reminds us of. Later on, and just a few verses later in Matthew 7, the Lord Jesus tells of two home builders, right? One builds on sand, one builds on stone. Two ways. Well, let's look at Deborah, if we will, as we think about this woman who identifies herself in chapter 5 in that great song as a mother in Israel. We'll look at these twos on this Mother's Day and what application we might take to ourselves. The first thing I'd like us to think about is that there's two couples. There's two couples here. Everybody else is a single individual. Sisera is. Barak is. Jabin is. Everybody else that's involved, hinted to, spoken about, whatever, is just single individuals. But there's two couples, which of course those are two as well. There's Deborah and Lapidoth, and there's Heber and Jael. Now, what an interesting thing here, of course. This is God's design for the home. Here's the wife, and here is the husband. One man, one woman, united as one flesh, picturing the coming Lord Jesus Christ and His church. Satan hates that picture. Satan hates that picture. And he's sought every way to destroy that picture. He incites people in every way to destroy that picture in every turn. Whether we're talking about divorce, whether we're talking about multiple spouses, whether we're talking about the unions that are happening in this day that our country is sanctioned. Every possibility, and there will be more coming, of ways that men can come up to defy and destroy this picture. One man, one woman, one flesh, God's design since the beginning of creation. That is the home. What about the home? And what about this home? What about Deborah's home? Interesting thing here. Bible names are interesting, right? Micaiah. Do you think names are interesting? Some people's names are, right? And some people's name, you have an interesting name for that matter. It's a pretty name. This lady we're reading about here, her name is Deborah. Did you ever know anybody named Debbie or Deborah? You will, because it's not uncommon. Deborah means a bee, like a bumblebee. Now, I don't know why she was given that name, but I think about her parents holding this little baby, and this little baby just squirming and wiggling and doing the things little babies do, and Mama's saying, she's just a busy little bee. And the name stuck. Deborah's a bee. And we think of bees, what do we think of? We think of activity. We think of industry. We think of work going on. They're these incredibly busy creatures, busy about their things. Well, it's interesting to me that her husband's name means a torch. And here he would speak to us of a light or testimony. When you put the two together, God's picture of a happy home life, God's picture of a husband and wife together representing Christ and His church, the husband head of the house, the wife lining up in submission under her husband's leadership, well, here is the best thing we could ever see. Industry lined up under the light. Now, I'm not saying that the husband stands there and tells her what to do and she runs around and does it. What I'm saying, it's a picture for us that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. If we work according as unto the Lord, as we do the things unto the Lord as He would desire, then anything we set our hand to brings Him honor and glory. That's the picture of Deborah and Lapidoth's household. Now, she had a particular job. She had a particular gift that God had given her. She has been raised up to be His spokesperson at this time. And we can debate and discover all kind of reasons for that, but she is that. There is no Ehud. There is no Shamgar here. Deborah is the one through whom God is speaking, who God is giving godly counsel to His people through her. She's a woman of real godly wisdom. She speaks for God and she's instructed by Him. And her counsel is greatly needed by a people who are suffering for their rebellion against God's Word. Now, you and I don't have to be prophets or prophetesses to tell a lost and dying world that God's good news. In fact, we're called to be witnesses of His truth, are we not? During Deborah's day, and you think about the day that Deborah lives in, and we've read all this, think about how it is for 20 years they are oppressed. The enemies of God's people are seemingly in control. The children of Israel themselves are disheartened. They're discouraged and they're disobedient. Does that sound anything like today? And yet, here is this testimony. Here is a couple that are doing their part to stand for God where they are, in their little corner of the vineyard, if you will. And God will bless that wherever you are, whoever you are. It's our responsibility as His people to stand to be counted, to speak God's word, to seek and share His counsel and wisdom wherever our field of responsibility, wherever our circle of influence might be. We see in our story two military leaders. One's experienced, notable, resourceful, well-equipped, has a track record of 20 years of keeping Israel under his thumb. 20 years of success. The other military leader, not so much. Hardly a shield or a spear among 40,000 in Israel. Sisera has 900 chariots of iron. He's got the Sherman tanks. They have forks and shovels and nothing. Except that Barak is called to duty by God. He speaks through Deborah, and she says, "Hasn't God said this?" In other words, God is calling you to stand for Israel, to stand and meet Sisera, and you're going to meet him and beat him. Barak says, "If you go, I'll go. But if you don't go, I'm not going." Now, we might read that and think, well, what kind of chicken? That's a little cowardly, isn't it? Well, you're in a spiritual vacuum. This is one bright, shining light that God has allowed to be there for Israel. And if God is going to speak through Deborah to call Barak to lead the army against an obviously superior foe from earthly standards, then I want you close by, Deborah. If God gives any other instruction, I want to be able to hear it. I want you to go with me. Saul would seek Samuel, wouldn't he? And so, Barak, trust what she says. He takes what she says as coming from God. But I want you right there with me. That's why Barak is over in Hebrews as a hero of the faith. he believes God and trusts God for the results. Now I'm going to tell you, there's a battle raging. We can't see it. We often forget about it. But it is relentlessly ongoing. The enemy's forces are constantly seeking to discourage, to distract, to detour the people of God from the real battlefield. And that battlefield is for and in the hearts of men. Isn't it overwhelming? I mean, isn't it interesting and amazing and worthy of our appreciation that God has left the care and training of the most vulnerable hearts to mothers? What an awesome responsibility. And I do not use the word awesome lightly or without care. It is a God-given responsibility to prepare, to nurture, to encourage, to shape, to hone, to guide, to be there to protect those little ones in the battle that rages. We praise the Lord for godly dads. Praise the Lord for godly grandparents, godly family, godly friends. But those closest to the hearts of the little ones are given this most sacred and important responsibility to point the little ones to Christ and to teach them how to live. Here is a battle, and here are the ones that God has put in charge. God has said through Deborah, I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. The battle would be met at the river, but God fought for Israel. 900 chariots of iron were no match for the stars falling from heaven. Says the stars and their courses fought against them. The river flooded against them. You know, we don't have an exact description of what happened. Except, I think Barak and his armies got there and they were left to mop up that God fought against them. That all the military prowess, all the military knowledge, all the military strategizing and planning, all of 20 years of experience against the children of Israel was worthless when God stepped into the battle. And they didn't leave a man standing of the armies of the Canaanites. They met at the river. There's two sides to every river, right? I can't think of one that there aren't two sides to. And it reminds us again of our number two. There's two ways, right? Proverbs tells us there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. That's Proverbs 16:25. The Lord Jesus tells us the right way. Do you know that way? The Lord Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He said that. John 14:6. Why did he say that? Because it's true. If we want to come to know God, to know the Lord Jesus as Savior, well, we come to Him. He says, whoever comes to me, I won't push them back. I won't cast them aside. I won't throw them away. I'll welcome them. He's the one who took the little children in His arms and blessed them. He's the one that will have us come and take Him as Savior. There's two women in our story, as we mentioned. There's Deborah and Jael. We talked about Deborah a little bit. We haven't talked much about Jael. Two different home types. Deborah lives under the oak of Deborah, right? The palm tree of Deborah, verse 5 of chapter 4. She has a fixed place between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim. I mean, everybody knows, you want Deborah, that's where you go. She'll be there. Jael lives in a tent. They're following the flocks. They might be here today, they might be there tomorrow. She's got to keep home wherever they travel. She's got a whole different lifestyle. Nomadic. Her husband is politically connected. He has peace with the Canaanite king. So we might think of him as being of a socioeconomic level that bears some respect in this type community. We don't know anything about that, about Deborah and Lapidoth. But she's a woman that knows what right is and what wrong is. When providence brings the enemy of God's people to her tent, can you believe that? It came to her door. Her door is not even in the same place week after week. Comes to her door. Says, come on in. Come on in and I'll hide you. I'll give you some sleep-inducing milk. And she pins him to the floor with a pin, with a nail, with a peg. Through both temples, two temples. See, two's everywhere in this story. I read that and it reminds me of an old poem. I'm not going to quote it. I've quoted it before. But it's called Two Temples. But it's not talking about temples on your head. It tells a story of a builder who built a temple. A great edifice. Beautiful architecture, beautiful structure, design. And men applauded it, lauded it. What a wonderful thing it was. And then the other temple was the heart of a little child, sculpted and honed and directed by its mother. Guided and led and developed and taught. And in the end, that temple was prepared for eternity, where the massive, beautiful structure built by men, crumbled in the dust. A real temple for God has eternal value. Two singers. Chapter 5 introduces us to two singers. To Deborah and Barak, right? And their song is a song of victory, a song of praise, a song of adoration to God. These are two witnesses, right? Singing their song. And it reminded me of the fact that there's really two kinds of songs, right? I mean, basically, songs are either happy songs or they're sad songs, right? You want sad songs, you turn on country radio, you know, if you want happy songs, you come to church. The point of the story is there's no songs out there that I can think of that are neutral, that don't have, you know, that have no emotion to them, and they don't try to evoke any feeling out of you that's either to make us somber, make us sad, make us angry, or we're happy. Well, this is a happy song. It's a happy song, and God gets the glory. He gets the glory. And that's the best kind of song we can sing. These two witnesses. This morning, I looked at Facebook, right? Sorry. Scroll through Facebook. But many, many friends and acquaintances have pictures of their mothers up, right? And they're all extolling, you know, what wonderful mothers they had. Many of them, what godly mothers they had. And what a testimony they had had to them. And then I'm thinking, here's two witnesses. The witness of the mother to the child, now the child to the mother, about their godly training and what they gave them. What an interesting thing here. There's two again. And that finally brings us to, in our last moments, two mothers. Two mothers. Deborah says that I am a mother in Israel. We don't have any record that Deborah had any children. Maybe she did. Maybe she had 25 kids. We don't know. Doesn't mention any of them. In fact, she's more of a mother to Barak than anybody else that we can tell. But I think it's interesting, right? She's the kind of mother that is there all the way, if you take it as Barak is her adopted son. You go with me, I'll go with you. I'll be there with you all the way. And the other mother that's pictured is Sisera's mother. Where is she? Well, she's waiting on the spoil. She's just waiting for what she's going to get. And what was taken by thievery, by military power, by force. Let's get some of that finery, some of that beautiful fabric. We thank the Lord for mothers who gave us the scripture, who gently lead the little ones, who speak wisdom to the grown, who battle for souls at the throne of grace. May the Lord bless all such mothers, and may we thank the Lord for them. And it says, the land had rest 40 years after being oppressed 20 years. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Father, what a blessing it is for us to know the mothers that You have given us. Father, we might not all could say that the upbringing was godly. Nevertheless, we are here today because of the way that You have guided and led in our lives. And so, Father, we give You thanks for every mother that is represented here today and those of generations before who, because You placed us in that home at that time, You brought us to come and know Your Son as Savior. Father, we thank You for Your Word and for the things we might learn from it, we might take from it. Help us, Father, encourage us in the battles that we face, in the battle that is raging on around us, that we might stand like a Deborah and a Lapidoth for Thy word, Thy will, and be an encouragement to Thy people, and be ready to be used of Thee in whichever way, whatever way You'd have us be used. We give You thanks now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.